Tonight on the Worldview Report, Ford makes a major admission. Nobody wants an electric pickup truck. We'll explain why Madison Avenue's most concentrated propaganda campaign has failed to resonate with most Americans. A famous sports journalist who chided tennis great Novak Djokovic for not getting the COVID vax dies suddenly while covering the Australian Open tournament. A group of 18 U.S. senators has sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland raising concerns about the increasing law enforcement use of facial recognition software, but not for the reasons you might think. Sports Illustrated lays off its entire staff. We'll explain why. And the Biden regime announces plans to open up 22 million acres of federal land to solar farm development. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. We start off tonight with a brilliant smackdown of the globalists, who just concluded their annual summit in Davos, Switzerland. Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation, attended the World Economic Forum summit last week, and he took it to the globalists on their own stage, telling them boldly and very directly that, quote, you are part of the problem. You are not the solution, end quote. During a discussion titled, What to Expect from a Possible Republican Administration, Roberts, well, he tore into the elitist. Quote, I will be candid, end quote. That's how Roberts began, adding, quote, the agenda that every single member of the future Republican administration needs to have is to compile a list of everything that's ever been proposed at the World Economic Forum and object to all of them wholesale, end quote. He further urged that, quote, anyone not prepared to do that and take away this power of the unelected bureaucrats and give it back to the American people is unprepared to be part of the next conservative administration, end quote. When the discussion turned to Donald Trump, Roberts told the host of the panel, Sir Robin Niblett, who is a, quote, distinguished fellow, end quote, of the Chatham House, that, quote, it's laughable that you or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy, end quote. And then he added, quote, it's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. I think that's absurd, end quote. And then he continued, quote, the very reason I'm here at Davos is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, that you are part of the problem, end quote. Watch this.
Let me come back. Kevin, let me come to you, because I said, it's quite good the way that Jerry set it up. What did the president, what do you think, a President Trump, he's the president from being the former president, but if there were a new President Trump, what does he mean by retribution? What is the issue calling out very specifically, a former Attorney General and former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and so on? I mean, it sounds very personal. And you said yourself a minute ago, anyone who's kind of not with the program is not going to be in an administration. You know, one thing that Davos, you might say, and the people come here stand up for is liberal democracy. So if the idea that's going to be swept under the table is part of the idea, hopefully that's not what he means. What do you mean? What do you think he means by retribution?
Well, it's laughable that you would or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's equally,
standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on 3 or 4 or 5 issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American. Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. Thirdly, I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum, is climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problem and the problems themselves. Fourth, two more here, Robin. Okay. The fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. And fifth, as we sit here, another supranational organization, the World Health Organization, is discussing foisting gender ideology upon the global south. These are practices that are under review, if not being rejected, by countries in Northern Europe. The new president, especially if it's President Trump, will, as you like to say, trust the science. He will understand the basic biological reality of manhood and womanhood. And do you know why? Not because of retribution, not because he's a dictator, but because he has the power of the American people behind him. And it's connected to Senator Portman's excellent point that in addition to needing a vigorous executive, we look forward to having the popular will inform both the House and Senate in 2025 to pass laws on all of those issues and many others. Ultimately, Robin, I think President Trump, if in fact he wins a second term, is going to be inspired by the wise words of Javier Milei, who said that he was in power not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions.
Ford Motor Company has announced it is cutting way back on production of its electric F-150 Lightning pickup trucks as the demand for electric vehicles continues to sink. The latest knock to the EV industry came on Friday when Ford announced it would move about 1,400 of its 2,100 employees from its Lightning plant in Dearborn, Michigan. That's what the Wall Street Journal reported. The employees will be, well, shuffled around to other Ford factories to ramp up production of existing gasoline-powered vehicles that people, well, actually want to buy. Morningstar reported some of the workers will take advantage of their union's recently negotiated retirement incentive program. Another 700 will be moved to the company's Michigan assembly plant, where a third crew will be added to boost production of gas-powered Bronco sports utility vehicles and Ranger pickups. In total, the company said its decision to cut production on the F-150 Lightning is expected to create 900 jobs. Ford's stock price saw a jump of more than 0.5% Friday morning after the news was announced. Well, imagine that. An auto manufacturer actually manufacturing vehicles that everyone, well, knows are popular. That's what you call capitalism, the free market system, supply and demand. Something the U.S. government and many large corporations, well, they seem to have forgotten on how this goes and how to practice the free market system. Consumers have shown an increasing preference for traditional vehicles over the past year as it became, well, self-evident that electric vehicles, well, they're not practical, they're not cost-effective, and they're not reliable. They're not reliable during cold weather, we've seen that, and they're not reliable to run as your primary source of transportation. Batteries for even the most basic Tesla models, well, they could run anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 or higher. That's what Business Insider reports. Those same batteries, well, they're prone to spontaneously catching fire, which puts structures at risk, like your house if the car's in your garage, while also taking firefighters, well, tens of thousands of gallons of water to put out. Even then, the cars must be isolated, as the batteries are prone to reigniting, in some cases, days later. Many new electric vehicle drivers have also expressed frustration over how they perform in extreme temperatures. Charging the vehicles in frigid temperatures, well, it can be slow, and that costs customers, well, a lot more money at those charging stations. Meanwhile, the driving range of the vehicles are already, well, they're not that great, and they tend to decrease even further during winter weather. So, these and other issues have dominated news of late, and, well, without a doubt, they have contributed to Ford's decision to cut production of the F-150 Lightning. When the vehicle, of course, was first announced in 2021, Ford touted it as the truck of the future. Such giddy statements were based on fiction, not science. Less than 3 years later, here we are. And the trucks, well, they have failed to win over the consumers as electric vehicles pile up on the lots of dealerships and manufacturers are now forced to cut production. Sean Barber, a Canadian pole vault world champion and Olympian, has died unexpectedly. His agent, Paul Doyle, announced last Thursday. The young man was just 29 years old. No cause of death has been released, but Doyle told the Associated Press that his client had recently been experiencing, quote, health issues, end quote, which Doyle did not elaborate on. Barber reportedly died Wednesday at his home in Kingswood, Texas. Barber's career peaked in 2015 with his win at the World Championship in Beijing. That is where he cleared 5.90 meters on his first attempt. Here's a video clip of him clearing his world championship 5.9 meter jump in 2015.
Greg Rutherford, doesn't it? Does Barber. Now, they have a couple of bronzes already from these championships, the Canadians. Can this young man vault on to secure a medal? And he does. 5 meters 90. First time clearance for Shaughnessy Barber and La Villanie.
Among the other accomplishments in Barber's career were 3 NCAA titles during his time at the University of Akron, 2 indoor titles, and then 2013 Pan American Junior Championships, and then the 2015 Pan American Games, and the 2016 World Indoor Tour. Condolences to his family. The sports journalism community is in mourning following the sudden and unexpected death of Mike Dixon, a longtime writer for the Daily Mail. Dixon collapsed and died while in Melbourne, covering the Australian Open. He was just 59 years old. Mike Dixon's career spanned nearly 4 decades, during which he became a mainstay in press boxes around the globe, first covering cricket matches and then later the world of tennis. More recently, he was known for taking a hard stance against the Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic. Unlike his fellow professional tennis players, Djokovic, well, he chose to obey his conscience, and he refused to submit to the biomedical security state's toxic death jab. Dixon, well, he was extremely critical of Djokovic, and he tried to goad the tennis legend into changing his mind on the vax. Through various articles, Dixon not only challenged Djokovic's decision, but also highlighted the potential implications for his legacy and public image. In one of his articles in the Daily Mail, Dixon scolded the tennis star by writing, quote, Novak Djokovic could ruin his chances of becoming the greatest of all time by refusing to take the vaccine. It is a strange hill to die on for a player who is so desperate to be loved, end quote. This isn't the first time that we have reported on journalists who were the most, well, militant, if I could say, of promoters of the jab. And many of them, sadly, have now died. This should be a lesson to the wise. It's not your business to judge an athlete or anyone else for medical decisions that affect them and not anyone else. Well, the numbers are in, and 2023 was the worst year for home sales in nearly 3 decades. Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes sank in 2023 to a nearly 30-year low as mortgage rates climbed to the highest level in more than two decades and prices hit record highs, pushing home ownership out of reach for most Americans. The National Association of Realtors reported last Friday that existing U.S. home sales, well, they totaled 4.09 million units last year. That's an 18.7% decline from 2022. That is the weakest year for home sales since 1995 and the biggest annual decline since 2007. That was the start of the housing slump in the late 2000s. The median national home price for all of last year edged up just under 1% to a record high of $389,800, so said the NAR. Mortgage rates, they surged in 2023, as we all know, climbing to a two-decade high of 7.08% by late October, as the Federal Reserve continued to boost its key lending rate in a quest to cool the economy and supposedly tame inflation. The sharply higher home loan borrowing cost, well, that limited home hunters' buying power on top of the soaring prices. A frustratingly low number of homes for sale, well, that also kept many would-be homebuyers and sellers on the sidelines. Mortgage rates, they have been mostly easing since November, echoing a pullback in the 10-year Treasury yield, which lenders use as a guide to pricing loans. The yield has largely come down on the hopes that inflation has cooled enough for the Federal Reserve to shift to cutting interest rates this year. We shall see. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for being a supporter of the broadcast. You can do that a few ways, but one is with your support of one of our major sponsors, WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com provides the educational service and ministry broadcast of pushing out this program to people free of charge. We could produce it and put it all behind a paywall, or we could let it air and then immediately put it behind a paywall, or we can partner with our foundation, WVWFoundation.com, and push it out to everybody free of charge, even though we're the ones paying for the bandwidth, all this expensive bandwidth and production. We still do that because we want people to have news and information as a public service, but also as a ministry to help them understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. And our foundation is committed to just that. News, information, programming, documentaries, conferences, and publications, and of course our Sunday night church service at worldviewtube.com at 8 p.m. Central Time on Sunday nights. We're committed to producing these kind of things to help people understand the times and know how God would have us to respond. So thank you again for your support at WVWFoundation.com. We are looking for more regular monthly contributors, so thank you for signing up for that at WVWFoundation.com. The Biden regime won't open up federal lands to oil drillers, but it will offer up more than 22 million acres of such land to solar farms. We all know that solar panels are toxic and they cause toxic chemicals to leak into the ground. The proponents of the so-called green energy, well, they voice little to no concern over those problems, while pushing more and more land to be, well, outfitted with these horrific rows of solar panels. Electric.com reports that the Biden regime announced recently it has updated the roadmap for solar development to 22 million acres of federal lands in multiple western states. The Bureau of Land Management, or BLM, and the Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory, they have determined that 700,000 acres of federal lands will be needed for solar farms over the next 20 years. So, BLM recommended 22 million acres to give, quote, maximum flexibility, end quote, to help the U.S. reach its goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2035. The plan is an update of the Bureau of Land Management's 2012 Western Solar Plan, which originally identified areas for solar development in six states: Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah. The updated roadmap refines the analysis in the original six states and then expands it to five more states: Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming. It also focuses on lands within 10 miles of existing or planned transmission lines and moves away from lands with sensitive resources. Well, we all know this is stupid and it's dangerous to the environment. And if President Trump gets reelected and returns to the White House, I and many others think he should eliminate this program immediately. And speaking of wacky climate policies, it's becoming clear that Nikki Haley, if she were to ever find her way into the White House, many think she would continue down the same disastrous path. A group of climate protesters interrupted a Nikki Haley campaign event in New Hampshire on Saturday night, prompting the former South Carolina governor to scold attendees for booing the activist. That's what Politico reported. Multiple protesters disrupted Haley's campaign event in New Hampshire, and they held up signs that read, "Haley, climate criminal," and then they chanted, "climate criminal." That's according to a video of the incident. Haley, she told her supporters not to boo the protesters, who were escorted out. So reports Politico. Watch this.
All of us.
Nikki Haley,
she's kicking out young people. I stood up respectfully. I sat down. Please don't push.
Haley told the crowd, quote, "My husband and other military men and women sacrifice for us every day for her to be able to do that," end quote. Haley showed some sympathy to the climate protesters later in the event, according to Politico. Quote, "We're all worried about the environment too," end quote. That's what she said, according to the news outlet, and then added, quote, "We all want clean air. We all want clean water. We all want a world that we can have our kids and grandkids grow up. That's not up for debate," end quote. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. As you know, the World Economic Forum's group of self-important globalists met at their annual summit in Davos, Switzerland last week. The theme of the conference was rebuilding trust. You see, the globalist elites who attend these meetings at great expense and often in obscene luxury, they're worried. They're worried that we, the people, no longer trust them, that we no longer trust them as leaders, and we no longer trust them as sources of information. They want us to trust them with things like health advice. But guess what? They blew it. They blew it during the COVID crisis, and people haven't forgotten. Now, they're trying to say we should trust them again for when the next big crisis comes along. And guess what? They're already planning for the next big crisis, and they already have a name for it. Disease X. That's what they're calling it. They don't know what it is, but they say it's an imminent threat. And when it hits, it'll be 20 times more deadly than COVID. So we had better listen, and we had better heed their instructions. Emma Tucker, well, she is the chief editor at the Wall Street Journal. And she is exceedingly worried that no one trusts the legacy media anymore. And so she traveled to Davos to whine and bellyache about it. Take a look.
If you go back really not that long ago, as I say, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying. So it's no longer good enough for us just to say, this is what happened, or this is the news. We have to explain, almost like explain our working. So readers expect to understand how we source stories. They want to know how we go about getting stories. We have to sort of lift the bonnet, as it were, and in a way that newspapers, you know, aren't used to doing, and explain to people what we're doing. We need to be much more transparent about how we go about collecting the news.
Well, newsflash to Emma Tucker. Perhaps if you started telling the truth, people would trust your so-called facts. If what you reported wasn't a half-baked mixture of lies and half-truths, always reported from the perspective of the globalist and neocon warmongers and fearmongers, maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't have to rebuild your trust, so to speak. So yes, your gig is up. It is too late to right your ship. And that's exactly why outlets like this are growing and becoming more popular, because there is an alternative. And we are, unlike many of them, committed to real journalism, honest journalism. That's right. People are waking up to the fact that most of the reporting they see in the corporate mainstream media, it's twisted and it's distorted. It has nothing to do with reality or facts. And again, that's why we're growing. And that's why now they need to put out their campaign of disinformation and misinformation being an even bigger threat than climate change, so they can come along with so-called hate crime laws and other things and shut us down. But we're not backing down. And we will continue as long as we can. And with your support, I think our future looks pretty bright. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in to news sources like this, the Worldview Report. And thank you for your support. If you'd like to support us, here's how you can do it as we close tonight. One way is by going to mypillow.com/B66. Mypillow.com/B66. That you'll get discounts and free shipping when you use that URL. Mypillow.com/B66. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Save at mypillow.com/B66. Another way is by going to MelissaHouseBG.com, MelissaHouseBG.com, MelissaHouseBG.com. We think this is a great way to support your health and our broadcast. It's a powerful elixir. I take it twice a day. My wife takes it twice a day. She's the one that brought it to us, and she was on it, got such great results that she said, this should really be something you incorporate into your broadcast. And so we have. And so we use her name to track it with a special landing page so our organization and this broadcast gets credit. So please check it out, won't you? A powerful elixir made up of three powerful ingredients. Collagen, which we all need, including men. A cat's claw, which is a powerful anti-inflammatory. And something known as astaxanthin that crosses the brain-blood barrier. Gets into your system, and it's loaded with antioxidants. You'll find nearly 80 clinical trials when you visit MelissaHouseBG.com. Thank you for doing that. And then finally, you can go to twc.health/Brannon. twc.health/Brannon. And you can pick up for your family the emergency medical kit at the wellness company. That includes my buddy, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. James Thorpe. 8 meds in here, ivermectin, amoxicillin, and many others. To find out what those entire 8 medications are and what they treat, you'll find all the details at twc.health/Brannon. And with each purchase, a percentage comes back to help keep this program going. I have 4 of these on hand for my family, so if there's an interruption in just-in-time inventory and medical supplies and my prescription can't get filled for some reason due to a crisis, I have some things on hand at least. So again, twc.health/Brannon. Thanks again for your support. Till next time, I'm Brannon House. May God save America. Take care.